Support for After All Things comes from the listeners of WSHU, a public radio station serving Connecticut and Long Island. For daily news and culture from around the Sound, listen at WSHU.org or download the WSHU app. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. The State Election Enforcement Commission has subpoenaed Bridgeport's Democratic Town Committee chairman. Governor Kathy Hochul reacts to the arrest of a former aide of hers, and we're taking a ride along the Connecticut River. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. The State Election Enforcement Commission has subpoenaed Bridgeport's Democratic Town Committee chairman. They want him to prove that he lives in the state he represents. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Mario Testa has been in charge of the Bridgeport Town Committee since the 1990s. The commission began investigating whether he lives in Bridgeport last year. On Thursday, the commission voted to subpoena him. Here's attorney William Smith.
The commission authorizes a subpoena to Mario Testa that requires that he appear and produce documents, records, and or materials and answer questions before the commission, and that he do so at commission offices.
The complaint filed against him claims he lives primarily in Monroe, where he owns a home. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones's assets will be sold at a bankruptcy auction. Proceeds will benefit families of the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
A federal trustee appointed to liquidate everything that Jones owns says multiple parties are interested in bidding for Free Speech Systems, the parent company of InfoWars. Sandy Hook families successfully sued Jones for defamation after he repeatedly called the 2012 mass shooting that killed 20 school children and six educators a giant hoax that was staged using actors. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, the trustee has told a federal judge overseeing the case that he expects the auction to generate about $1.8 million, well short of the $1.5 billion Jones owes the families. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul was on WNYC's All Things Considered yesterday to discuss the arrest of her former aide. She says she can't talk about why Linda's son was fired last year, but says her office turned over evidence of misconduct to federal prosecutors.
I'm furious and I'm outraged and absolutely shocked at how brazen her behavior was. It was a betrayal of trust.
Sun was charged with failing to register as a foreign agent and other crimes like money laundering and visa fraud. Federal prosecutors say she used her position to boost the Chinese government's views within New York state government. She pleaded not guilty. The Connecticut River and the people who live near it have gone through a lot of change over the last few decades. More on that is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Officials in Suffolk estimate damages for last month's flooding could cost the county more than $100 million. Nearly 3,000 residents have submitted reports on a damage assessment tool provided by the state. Bridgeport's proposed minor league soccer team has postponed their debut. The stadium planned for the city's east side is now scheduled to open in 2026, according to the team's co-founder. A UConn study found the project would generate more than $4 billion over 25 years and create over 1,000 jobs. Elm City Market will relocate to the former site of the New Haven Coliseum later this year. It'll be a downsize for the grocery store. The new space is about a third of its current one. Several other businesses are also planned for the redeveloped site. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is set to testify about the state's COVID-19 response before House lawmakers next week. Ian Pickus has more.
Cuomo is scheduled to speak with the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic on September 10th. He resigned under pressure in August 2021 after becoming a national figure early in the pandemic. He continues to face questions about a state order from March 2020 that required nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients amid a shortage of hospital beds. New York experienced thousands of deaths in nursing homes and assisted living facilities during the pandemic. Cuomo denies wrongdoing. A spokesman for the former governor says the question over COVID spread in nursing homes has already been investigated multiple times. The spokesperson adds Cuomo is appearing voluntarily and says Republicans' anti-science policies caused hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths from COVID. In Albany, I'm Ian Pickus for the New York Public News Network.
The Connecticut River is a haven for raptors, seabirds, and dozens of species of migrating fish. It was also once home to some of the most polluting industries in the country. This summer, reporter Ben James took his bicycle the full length of the river. This is just a part of a series from the New England News Collaborative where Ben talks to people in those formerly industrial communities about changes on the river, for better and for worse.
The Connecticut River in the 1960s, according to people who saw and smelled it.
It would stink.
It was a floating sewer, basically.
It stunk. You'd see turds, toilet paper, literally floating down a river.
And here's what I saw on my ride down the Connecticut. Dozens of bald eagle's nests, osprey diving for shad, sea lampreys darting through clear water, and not a single floating turd. I'd heard for years that there'd been a major cleanup of the river, but I didn't know much about it. So I asked hydrologist John Morrison of the U.S. Geological Survey. What happened?
This dates back to the early 1970s, just about the advent of the Clean Water Act.
He pointed to a chart showing nitrogen trends in some of the state's biggest rivers, including tributaries to the Connecticut. Some were classified as open sewers in the 1970s.
You can see a massive decrease in the amount of nitrogen loading from this system. So all those billions of dollars of upgrading have been working. We see the results here.
Wastewater treatment plants, regulations for industry, rules, consequences, legal action, and countless volunteer hours hauling mattresses and tires out of the river. It's not a done deal, says Morrison. Runoff from lawn fertilizers, sewage overflows during major rainstorms, these are still serious problems. But life on the Connecticut is a whole different story than it was a few decades ago.
When I first started in this job, we didn't have eagles all over the place. And now we go out in the field and I don't think there's a day on the Connecticut River where we're out that we don't see an eagle. You know, like National Geographic kind of stuff, like two eagles locking talons and twirling down to the river. And that's just so inspiring to see the fact that the river has changed that much.
The cleanup of the Connecticut, I learned, is one of the world's great environmental success stories. But many people I met on my ride down the river had something very different on their minds.
This country's been gone to hell for a long time. There ain't no fixing that.
It's hard to notice a lack of floating turds when you're rattled by the hot mess that is America in 2024. And I got it. I was rattled too.
Well, the world is falling apart now.
Tell me more about that. You see the world falling apart?
It's falling apart.
I mean, we're headed for another war.
What do you mean?
Everything's going on in the countries and stuff, you know. It's ridiculous, you know, so.
You mean like a civil war kind of
thing?
Well,
yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, the way things are going.
Then in Hadleim, Connecticut, I got caught in a rainstorm while waiting for a ferry that wasn't going to come. A truck pulled up. I asked if I could toss my bike in the back, and Travis Parker, a man who'd been made and broken by the Connecticut River, said sure. He's 48, and he worked on the river installing marine pilings, starting at the age of 13.
My pile driving rig was 56 by 21 with a crane on it, self-propelled.
Parker loved the work, loved being on the river, but a couple years ago, he needed to call it quits. He says his back and his neck are smoked.
I literally sacrificed my body over the last 30, 40 years for what I have.
He's seen the lower Connecticut River area change for better and for worse.
Tell me some of the good parts. I'm really interested.
Well, it was a really repressed area.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see the influx of money, i.e. New Yorkers, which is good and bad, right? Because it's money and it helps the economy and drives the economy, but it's also at what cost, you know?
Parker grew up on a marina in Chester, Connecticut. It was a different world back then, he says. At age 6, he had his own motorboat.
Me and my brother, he had his boat, I had my boat, and we'd...
Did you say from the age of 6?
Yeah. We'd fish, we'd camp, we'd kind of just hang out, you know, be little hooligans, you know?
I keep hearing about how filthy the river used to be. Was that like, do you remember
like
that?
Like, when we were kids, like, you didn't swim in the river.
Well, that's the one, like, you're definitely not the first person who's like, the world is going to hell that I bet on this trip,
God.
I mean, and for a good reason. But then I'm like, you know what? The other thing that people are saying is like, this river used to be orange. This is better than it used to be.
It is, but now we have no industry in this country. We have no industry in Connecticut. You know, we used to have Stanley Works and Pratt, and that meant jobs. That meant, you know, money for this area, and we don't have that anymore.
We were parked in a lot across from the Goodspeed Opera House in East Haddam, watching the well-dressed crowd exit a performance of South Pacific. I chewed on Parker's comment. It wasn't just that the factories now had regulations. It was also that there were fewer factories, fewer steady jobs. That, too, was part of the story of how the river had gotten better and how Parker's world had changed.
Working the way I worked for the last 40-something years, there's no end game, you know? The way I feel now, I can't imagine what I'm going to be when I'm 75, 80.
From the Connecticut River, I'm Ben James.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, they're all made possible with support from our listeners. So if you like what you hear, you've been with us for a while now, please consider donating to our station. All the info on how to do that is there for you on our website, including how to donate an old vehicle. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.